Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the family breaks down, culture itself breaks down. Single-parent homes face enormous obstacles. But there is a resource that can prevent marriages from shattering, and it comes to us from the finished work of Christ. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family. A lack of communication causes many couples to live miles apart in the same house. But Christ has the power to break down the walls.
And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. He takes the shame that you and I experience, and he covers that shame. He takes the messy trails of our life, and he brings a snowfall to cover the trails and the ugly ruts that show the times that we have fallen into the ditch. He cleanses it and covers it. When Jesus died on the cross, the scripture says that he despised shame. In other words, what he said is, I'm going to shame shame. And I love what Rodney Clapp has written. Does shame bind us? Jesus was bound. Does shame destroy our reputation? He is despised and rejected of men. Does shame reduce us to silence? He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Does shame expose our apparent weakness? Well, they said of him, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. Does shame lead to abandonment? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does shame diminish us? He was crucified naked and exposed for gawkers to see. Jesus comes and rectifies our relationship with God, and he covers the shame. The animals of the skins of the animals that Jesus, that God used in the Old Testament, clearly he must have killed animals to cover Adam and Eve. And those animals, by their death, by the blood that was shed, and by the death that they died, prefigured the coming of Jesus, who would cover our sin so we could be free from shame. One day I was riding in a car with a friend of mine who had a series of adulterous relationships, ruined his family. Tragic story, because he was so gifted, and in many ways so blessed. But I remember as we were riding along, he put it on the stereo of his car, the song, Calvary Covers It All. My sin with its guilt and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there. Calvary covers it all. You say, well, what does this do, though, in our relationships? I mean, that's fine for our relationship with God to be restored, but what about my relationship with my wife? Like one man says, if she knew who I really was, she'd leave me. I'd like to suggest that it is the forgiveness of God that enables us now, that gives us the strength and the enablement to create an environment, where sharing, honest sharing, can take place. Rodney Clapp again says, the cross creates a community of people who are no longer afraid of being defined and destroyed by shame, and can admit their failures and allow their neediness. The names are Tim and Anne. The names are fictitious, but the story isn't. Both of them raised in Christian homes, married one another, every indication of a happy marriage, but Anne became bored with the housework and was spending a lot of time watching television, watching the soaps on TV. She began to think to herself, you know, there's a whole world out there that I've never experienced. And so in order to experience it and to get rid of the boredom, she had an affair. Now suddenly she was faced with a tremendous difficulty of what do you do now? How do you live the lie? How do you position yourself in such a way that your mate will not find out? How do you go into church on Sunday and sing the songs of Zion? How do you pray with your children all the while knowing that you have betrayed your husband? As her conscience began to trouble her. Her husband knew that something was wrong, obviously, but he didn't know what it was. They attended a meeting where people were coming forward in prayer to pray and to commit and to seek God together as couples. And they went home and they got on their knees. And before they prayed, Tim said to Anne, "Anne, I know that there is something, and I want you to know that I have forgiven you in advance, no matter what it is." That's grace. There you have the cross of Jesus Christ applied to a human relationship, that no matter what you share, I choose to forgive you even before you tell me what's there. Well, Tim began to share his problems as well, and they talked all night. 6 years later, I wrote up their story, and they said that Jesus is the best marriage counselor because in his presence we can be honest, we can be open, and we can share. All of the secrets can be revealed, and love can finally flow. And then another story, more recent. I spent an hour some time ago with a couple where the man was a bisexual and he was involved in other kinds of relationships with other men. I can't even begin to tell you the pain of trying to put a marriage like that together. And you know, of course, that it's one thing to forgive, it's another thing to be reconciled. And yet I saw in that relationship the love and the forgiveness of Christ and the genuine desire to say, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, God's grace will help us. If he can forgive the shame, we can forgive one another, and marriages can be restored. I believe that the restoration of a failed marriage is as great a miracle as the raising of the dead, causing the stone deaf to be able to hear, and causing the blind to be able to see. Because the human heart is so filled with determination and self-will and self-protection and self-justification. Who can possibly overcome all that in our sinful hearts except God by his word and by the Spirit? There are some of you couples who ought to go home. You ought to get on your knees in the presence of God and talk. Talk to God and talk to one another. Remember that book that was popular a number of years ago? I think it was by Robert Fulcrum, entitled All That I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He says that when they were kids, they used to play in the leaves, and there were huge piles of leaves, and he says there was one kid who always hid in such a way that nobody could ever find him. And he said, we explained to him, there's something about hiding, there's something about being found. You're not supposed to hide in such a way that nobody will ever find you. He said now, as an adult, he was looking out of the window one October and noticed these huge piles of leaves, and there was one kid who always hid in such a way that nobody could ever find him. So he says, since the pile of leaves was close to the window, he leaned out and shouted, "Kid, get found!" And the kid ran out of the leaves, started to cry, and ran all the way home. Now you and I are together, one-on-one. Nobody else is here except God, who knows who the real you is. And I'm asking you, telling you. Get found. Get found. Let's pray. Father, we pray for those relationships that are frayed, some of them between husband and wife, some of them between parents and children, and the parents have to humble themselves and go to their child and ask forgiveness. We think, Father, of how shame binds us, how fear binds us, how self-protection binds us. God, we are just such deceptive sinners. Come to us today, Lord. Come to the men who have been listening, to the husbands, to the fathers. Come to the wives and to the mothers. And we pray today that these walls that have been so carefully dug, that they might be demolished in your blessed and holy presence. This is Pastor Lutzer. My friend, today perhaps you have some walls in your life and you want to see them demolished. I remember a story of four or five Christian men who were spending a morning golfing together. After they said goodbye to one another, one of their member disappeared. He disappeared off the face of the earth almost, at least it appeared that way. No one could find him. And they discovered that he was in such trouble that he was running away, even willing to change his identity just to get away from the problems that he was facing. Now here's the question. Here are men together, they're all Christians, they're spending hours together, not one of them detected that anything was wrong with their friend. What's wrong with that picture? The answer simply is this. We're able to have all kinds of relationships and friendships that are purely superficial. How different this story might have been if they'd have had a candid talk about where they were in their walk with you, in their business, in their home life. They'd have been able to help that brother. They'd have been able to encourage him. If only he had trusted them with his problem, he'd have discovered hope and healing and encouragement. Well, this first message in the series titled Reclaiming the Family is intended to help us to see that if we want healthy relationships, it's not possible for us to live in isolation. So here's my challenge to you today. Open your life up to someone today. Hopefully your marriage partner or a friend. Share something that is of great concern to you, some burden, some temptation. You'll find strength and help, and you will encourage him or her to be more honest with you. God bless you.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Miles Apart in the Same House, the first of seven messages on reclaiming the family. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss The Mystique of Motherhood. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.